Chapter 9. 11 minutes was enough time for me to get to the bridge. It was also enough time to reach the cabin where my sons were waiting. I opted for the bridge. Being with the boys would only show them how tense I was and alarm them for nothing. Besides, I might need to do something at the last minute, make a critical decision, or something like that. The best way to ensure I could do that with a clear head was to be on the bridge. Besides, they were probably having fun with Petty Officer Giacomo. The guy had volunteered to stay with my sons since he had 2 sons back home. Also, he had broken an arm during the wonky jump and wasn't fit for duty. Babysitting was better than doing nothing. Bilby, I called the ship's AI as I jogged along the passageways. Talk to me.
I don't know about this, your dudeness. This is like gnarly. Programming a jump that is not intended to move the platform? Well, that is cray-cray.
But it can be done?
Shmaybe.
Skippy told me he has solid gold confidence.
He won't be harmed if the ship explodes. We're working on it now, and all he talks about is how cool this will be if it works.
Shit.
The real problem is we just don't have a lot of data about Krestang jump drive operation. Neither Skippy nor I ever thought we would ever need...
What? Why do you need to know about Krestang jump drives? They don't use virtual coils. That is an advanced technology.
Dude, like, when you want to study jump drives that sometimes do not actually complete a jump, you go to the experts. The lizards.
Oh.
Their jump drive designs are so crappy, and their ships so poorly maintained, they are the undisputed leaders in creating jump wormholes that don't actually take their ships anywhere, he chuckled. We are trying to create a model that mimics Krestang drives, and then we can adapt that model to the characteristics of our drive coils, get it?
Got it.
What I'm trying to tell you is Skippy is guessing how to do this.
Will it work?
It will do something.
Hopefully, we can avoid the thing that happens too often to Krestang ships. Like, they explode, you know?
Avoiding that would be my preference.
Okay, I have an update. This is bogus. There's a 73% probability that the drive coil kernels will shatter before the coils can form a wormhole. It won't be dangerous to us. It won't do anything. We will waste the coils for nothing.
Crap! I pounded a fist against a bulkhead. Only a 27% chance this will work.
Halt the process.
Dude, are you sure?
Hell yes. With those odds, we're better off waiting for the 3rd Fleet ship to find us.
Like, that's not gonna happen. You know that, right?
It could happen.
Whatever you say, dude. I just...
What?
Didn't think you would give up so easily.
Hey, man, it's cool. I read somewhere that you should never meet your heroes because they always disappoint you.
I am your hero.
This is a conversation we could have later.
What exactly is the problem with the coil kernels? They can't create virtual coils?
Nah, man, they can do that, but when the virtual coils power up to form a jump wormhole, they each create a resonance. You know that?
Yeah, the resonances merge to form the rip in space-time that begins the wormhole.
Correct-a-rama, dude. Each coil's resonance is slightly different from the others until they all get in sync and merge to form a single, focused resonance. It is the initial difference that is the problem. In the tests we conducted, the crystals of the coil kernels are vibrating. At full power, they would shatter before they could do anything useful.
Yeah, Joe, Skippy's avatar appeared. Your so-called clever idea won't work.
Bullshit. The idea is fine. You just can't make it work.
You think this is easy, monkey boy?
I think the solution is simple, and you are just too stupid to see it.
His avatar stared at me, mouth open, too shocked to speak.
Hey, General Dude,
Bilby drawled in my earpiece.
Like, Skippy is smart. If he can't do this, no one can.
He can do this, and he is smart, but he has forgotten how to think like a monkey.
Oh,
Skippy folded his arms across his chest.
Joe knows how to fix a broken jump drive. I can't wait to hear this.
It's simple. You flatten space-time around each coil to dampen out the resonance effect until the resonances get in sync.
Oh, Bilby gasped. Righteous, dude!
Skippy shook his head.
Joe, he sighed.
I know you hate me more than I do hate you, but his shoulders slumped.
I have missed this. It's been too long since I have had to think like a monkey.
I've missed you too, buddy.
You can do it. It will take extensive testing before I know exactly how to counteract the chaotic effect of each coil's initial resonance. Otherwise, my interference could make the whole system go boom, you know.
Okay, good safety tip. How long will your testing?
Oh, it's already done.
Huh? You said it's me, Joe.
Testing is complete-a-rama, dude, Bilby shouted. We are good to go.
Skippy, you agree?
Yeah. Let's get this party started.
What's your confidence this will work?
98.4%. Is that good enough for you?
There is a 1.6% chance the ship will explode and kill my children?
No, dumbass. There is a 1.6% chance the jump wormhole won't form properly, and this will all be a waste of time. The coils will not explode.
Then do it.
Wait. Give me time to get to the bridge.
The clock is ticking, Joe.
Gotcha.
Along the passageway to my left was a fold-down seat where I could strap in. It was for ship's personnel on damage control duty. Dashing to the seat, I jammed myself in and made sure the automatic straps had tightened around me.
Is a 30-second countdown good?
That will be 20 seconds more than I need, but whatever.
Start the clock. Bilby, sound the jump alarm and punch it when the time is up.
Righty-o, dude.
Colonel Reed, I called the bridge, talking loudly over the alarm hooting from the speaker above my head. The jump drive will activate in about 30 seconds.
30 seconds, aye, she answered, a question implied in her tone.
The drive will activate, but we are not going anywhere?
We're sending up a smoke signal to hail a tow truck. I'll explain later.
Yes, she said with a sigh.
Sir?
Reed?
It is good to have you back.
At the 30-second mark, I got a familiar queasy feeling in my stomach. That time it was more of a faint wave of nausea, as if my body remembered how I was supposed to feel during a jump and mimicked the symptoms, though the effect was barely noticeable. Like when you accidentally drink decaf coffee in the morning, you still get a little jolt of energy. Then the energy wears off fast, as your body realizes the drink tasted like real coffee, but you got played.
Did it work, Skippy? I asked, my hands on the button to unstrap.
I did my part to perfection, he grumbled. Whether any monkeys out there are paying attention to our signal, I can't control.
Right.
I popped the straps loose, stood up, and folded the chair back into the recess in the bulkhead.
How are my boys? I hope they're not too frightened.
Joe, they are 7 years old. They think this whole incident is cool.
Of course they do. Tell them I'll be there as soon as I can.
Picking up the pace, I hurried to the bridge, passing only a handful of crew along the way. They stood aside with curious looks. I flashed each of them a thumbs up.
Everything is good, my gesture said. Everything is under control.
What I did not say was everything we can control is good. The response of the Third Fleet was beyond our control. When I reached the bridge, Reed was out of her chair leaning over one of the pilot consoles. She was the captain of the ship, but she was still a pilot at heart.
Sir?
She turned around and the bridge crew stiffened.
General on deck.
At ease, everyone. Formal protocol was usually dispensed with aboard ship, but I was a visiting senior officer.
Reed, what's the condition of the boosters?
She returned to the command chair as she spoke.
They overheated. The diagnostic system recommends against firing them up until bots can complete an inspection.
Skippy, what do you think?
If you don't push them to more than 30%, we should be okay. Throttle them up slowly so we don't get any surprises.
Gotcha.
Reed, we put on a lot of Delta V racing away from the rendezvous with Copernicus. If a star carrier jumps in now, we'll fly right past it.
Yes, sir. We've been burning the main engines to kill our momentum and match course and speed with the Third Fleet Star Carrier Squadron.
I see that.
Literally, I did. Valkyrie's speed relative to the Star Carriers was listed on the main display. It had been a while since I saw that display. The old skills came back to me.
The mains won't slow us down fast enough.
Let's light off the boosters.
You're expecting company soon, sir?
I'm hoping Third Fleet identifies our position soon. We should be prepared. An alarm sounded as Valkyrie's sensors detected a gamma ray burst 140,000 kilometers behind us. After a second, the icon on the holographic display changed from red to green and showed the outline of a Maxulk's destroyer. Below the image was DD-214 UNS Freedom. A cheer rang around the compartment. The Third Fleet had detected the weird and energetic gamma burst of our ship not jumping. After initial confusion and fear that a stealthy, unknown, and hostile ship had emerged in the middle of their formation, the AI of the Rio Grande detected something strange. The chaotic gamma ray burst was not entirely incoherent. It had pulsed in a Morse code signal that the battleship's AI recognized as Valkyrie's ID code. Our non-jump wormhole was traced back to the origin coordinates, and Admiral Sousa dispatched a destroyer to investigate. 10 minutes after the Freedom arrived, that destroyer jumped away with assurances that a star carrier would soon arrive to carry Valkyrie to safety. Reed ordered the boosters slowly throttled up, and the star carrier Australia had to wait for 15 minutes for our once mighty battlecruiser to match course and speed. We got latched onto a hardpoint of the otherwise empty star carrier, and Australia jumped.
General Bishop. The smile on Admiral Sousa's holographic face appeared genuine.
The guy had to be relieved that although the overall operation was a freaking disaster, he had not lost Valkyrie, and more importantly, Skippy.
It is good to have you with us again.
I nodded toward his image on Valkyrie's main display. I am a big fan of not being fried by a shockwave.
Do we know what went wrong?
Not yet. Admiral, recall your scouting forces. From Valkyrie's display, I could see there weren't enough ships around us to account for all of Third Fleet. Sousa, of course, had ships out searching for us and ships to set up a perimeter. That was just a sensible precaution. You need to take your fleet straight to Earth immediately. His eyes narrowed.
Those are not my orders.
Sir, he added as an afterthought.
In the event of an activation failure, my standing orders are to remain in the area to collect data so we can analyze what went wrong.
I am countermanding those orders. It was questionable whether I had the authority to do that, and we both knew it. Yes, I outranked him in the UN military hierarchy, but my initial role with the activation fleet was essentially a civilian observer, not in any official capacity. Also, he was Navy. I was Army, and the garrison administrator of Jaguar Base was not anywhere in his chain of command. For him to accept my authority to change his orders, I had to rely on my reputation and give him a damn good reason to ignore his official instructions. So I did that. Someone, or something, tried to take control of a sentinel here. We do not know whether the sentinels at Earth are vulnerable to similar interference. His mouth dropped open in a silent O. Joe! Skippy, of course, could not keep his own mouth shut. There is no reason to suspect that Bubba and Roscoe are... Do you know who tried to hack Dogzilla? Well, no, but... Okay, I have no freaking clue what happened. That was enough for Sousa.
General Bishop, I will issue a recall order.
He looked away and made a gesture, then back to me.
Should I send star carriers to proceed individually as each of them are loaded, or wait for the fleet to assemble?
Get all your ships together. If there is a fight at Earth, you will need to concentrate your combat power. Right now, I need one of your stores ships to deliver a full set of jump drive coil kernels to Valkyrie. Ours are completely burned out. It's a long story.
Australia should have enough spares aboard to replenish your needs. Can you conduct repairs in flight, or will Valkyrie need to detach to link up with a dedicated service platform?
We could handle it here, Joe, Skippy advised me. It's not a big job if we have the proper parts, but... He sighed. A star carrier could get us to Earth faster than we could get our dorked-up drive fixed and operational. Looks like we'll be hitching a ride this time. We were indeed hitching a ride, something I was not used to aboard the mighty battlecruiser. When Skippy was with the ship, he was able to keep the jump drive tuned so it could perform multiple jumps, and so we didn't usually require a star carrier for long-distance travel. Plus, you know, his unique ability to screw with wormhole networks provided shortcuts to most destinations, reducing the need for the ship to grind out jump after jump the hard way.
What I cared about was that we got to Earth quickly and that Valkyrie be ready for a fight when we arrived. The Star Carrier Australia, burdened with our ship and seven others, took us to the closest wormhole, where Skippy created a temporary connection that linked that event horizon to one only 300 light-years from our homeworld. After he created that connection, we had to wait for the entire Third Fleet to pass through before Australia could proceed. The whole time I was chafing at the delay, worried that rogue sentinels had devastated Earth. The worst part was not knowing what had gone wrong with the activation of Dogzilla. No, that wasn't true. The worst part was Skippy's defeatist attitude. Joe, there is no point to asking me again what happened. I told you I don't know. Something went wrong and we need to figure out what happened and who was responsible. You will have to do that with zero information because I got nothing. Just try to work with me, okay? We needed to understand what went wrong with the failed activation of Dogzilla, and hopefully to give us a chance to stop the same thing from happening to the Sentinels at Earth and at Jaguar. If those Sentinels had not already been taken over by a hostile entity, I mean. Anyway, we couldn't prevent the disaster from happening again until we understood the exact sequence of events. The exact sequence, Joe? Skippy groaned. His avatar was on Valkyrie's conference room table. A play-by-play at the picosecond level would take... Let's not do that, I hastened to say as Admiral Mancini's eyebrows rose with alarm. Mancini was there because he had witnessed the incident, and more importantly, because he had worked on developing the cross-dimensional transmitters. Somehow, a hostile entity had ridden a signal on those transmissions and used them to hack into the Sentinel. Had done it without Skippy noticing, until it was too late. Just a summary, please. Begin, right before you notice the problem. Sir, Mancini leaned forward, resting his forearms on the table. I suggest we start before Skippy noticed the problem. My team identified what they had described as a minor fluctuation with the outpost of Unit Bravo. Skippy did not notice any issue at the time, but that must be when the trouble began. Oh, well, sure, Skippy huffed. It's easy to say that now, in hindsight. Your team of monkeys didn't see any significant problem either. My team of highly skilled and qualified professionals, Mancini responded with a blank expression. He was a lot cooler than I would have been. They identified an issue, and you advised we should proceed. You said Bravo was a relay and that it was working properly. You did say that, I agree. At the time, it was fine. Skippy was getting defensive. The problem only started when you monkeys started screwing with Bravo. Like, that's not true, man. Bilby's avatar appeared on the table. Over the years, Bilby had upgraded his own avatar, which now wore a long black coat over a Hawaiian shirt and board shorts. On his feet were flip-flops, and he wore a black silk top hat. I ran back over the data. That resonance you heard as an annoying hum? It was there right from when the Copernicus crew detected a minor fluctuation in the output. You said it was, like, not a problem. It wasn't a problem at the time. Bullshit, I slapped the table. It was a problem, you just didn't recognize it. I was busy, Skippy insisted. When Skippy has his back against a wall, it is unproductive to push him, so I changed tactics. You were busy, doing what only you can do. Now that you know the problem began back with the output fluctuation from Bravo, what does that tell you? Nothing, Joe. He threw his hands in the air. It tells me nothing. There is zero data to work with. I told you that. Whoever took control of Dogzilla away from me, they left nothing I can use to identify them. Well, how can that be? They were very careful to cover their tracks, to not leave any fingerprints. Choose whatever metaphor you like. Believe me, I searched for the culprit. I got nothing. Skippy, sometimes you know so much you miss something that is obvious to someone unfamiliar with the subject. Yes, I was feeding Skippy's ego. That is my freaking job. Could Bilby help? A second set of eyes on the data? It can't hurt, other than to waste time, he sighed. General Dude, Valkyrie's AI drawled. I already reviewed all the data. There is nothing. Nada, like Skippy said. Whoever did this is a real slippery customer. Mancini? I tried approaching the problem from another angle. Is there anything your team saw? You had control of the transmitters. Should we call in Colonel Murphy? He shook his head. Murphy and I reviewed the data.
I had trained her team on that system, and neither of us could identify the source of the interference. Except that it definitely came from outside, not anything latent to our transmission units. The system was completely clear when we powered up.
That's true, Skippy agreed. I ran the diagnostic tests. I would have noticed any anomaly. It had to be an outside source.
A second entity that you didn't notice until it was too late?
Joe, I didn't notice it at all. Ever. Right to the very end, I could see what was happening, but I could not detect the source. Could not detect any source.
Wait. Okay, you were using the transmissions from the activation fleet ships. They provided the signal. You rode that signal up into higher space-time and used it to make contact with the Sentinel?
Joe, you are the only one here who needs to ask that question. The rest of us know that is the process.
Right, so there was only one signal the whole time?
Yours?
That's what I said. If no one else was involved, how could control of the Sentinel have been almost taken away from you?
That is an excellent question. Let me know when you have the answer.
Then, the resonance from Unit Bravo that you described as an annoying hum, where did that come from?
From Bravo.
He used his explaining things to small children tone.
Duh.
Your diagnostic cleared that ship and the entire system. It didn't come from there. Someone took over that ship and the ships connected to it.
Oh, thank you, Captain Obvious.
Sir. When he cleared his throat, I thought Mancini might have been trying to prevent the discussion from devolving into a name-calling match. Except he had something else to say.
We have been talking about how it happened, and it is apparent that we simply don't have any data to perform any useful analysis. Could we instead try to identify who might have been involved? That might in turn lead us to how they did it.
Yes, certainly. I had no idea where he was going with his thinking. Without any data to identify the culprit, I stopped. You have an idea, don't you?
Possibly. When my fleet arrived, we had detected a residual trace of a Maxorx ship. A single Maxorx ship.
This again? Skippy rolled his eyes. You can stop right there. No way did the rotten kitties do this. They have no ability to—
Skippy, let the man talk, I ordered. Unless you have something useful to contribute.
No one else does either, he grumbled, but then kept his mouth shut. Mancini watched Skippy warily as he continued.
That Maxorx ship should not have been there. No ship should have been there ever. The activation site was literally in the middle of nowhere. It is not on a travel lane between stars or between wormholes. The only reason that ship could have been there is if it knew a Sentinel would emerge in that location.
No way. Not possible. Only I knew the coordinates in local space-time. Space and time. The intersection between layers of space-time changes. It moves around. The Sentinel could be contacted there only then. A few hours later and the intersection point would have shifted by half a light year. After I provided the coordinates to the fleet, no ship in this galaxy could have gotten there significantly ahead of us. That is why I waited until the last moment to give the location. Also, he held up a hand to stop me from speaking, the signature we detected from that ship was weak and faint. It must have been there before I told the fleet where to go. Like I said, impossible.
Based on our history, I don't think that word means what you think it means.
Ugh, seriously?
I'm very serious about this.
Okay, smart guy. Tell me how it could have happened that a magic ship went back in time and arrived at the coordinates before I mentioned them to anyone.
That never happened.
Wow. Well, I'm glad we agree on that little detail.
It never happened, so the only other possibility is the Maxorx somehow have developed the ability to predict the location of dormant sentinels.
Skippy, of course, protested that the rotten kitties could no way be able to determine where sleeping sentinels were hiding. No meat sacks in the galaxy had even the most basic grasp of the physics involved. None of them had even a glimpse of the horrifically complicated type of math that was needed to predict a sentinel emergence point. Nuh-uh, no way. Except he had no other way to explain how a Maxorx ship could have just happened to be there around that time in what Mancini accurately described as the middle of nowhere.
It doesn't matter anyway, Joe, he muttered in my earpiece as I walked along a passageway toward the cabin I shared with my sons.
The activation project is dead. No way will your people spend the cash to construct another set of activation ships just to provide a sentinel to the spiders.
You're right, they won't.
Problem solved, then. We don't have to worry about that disaster happening again.
The problem would be solved, except you forgot one thing.
Oh, do I want to ask?
You should.
What did I forget?
Greed.
Dude, he laughed. No way would I ever forget that.
What does that have to do with this issue?
The spiders still want a sentinel to guard their old homeworld, right?
Most likely, yes.
So? If you're saying they could construct their own activation machine, you can forget about that.
It is incredibly ironic, but only filthy monkeys are capable of building those ships.
Really, saying that humans constructed those ships is like your sons claiming they helped you cook dinner because they got a spoon out of a drawer.
I do all the work. You monkeys just bring me the raw materials.
The truth was more complicated than his asshole statement. It was humans who painfully figured out how to put Skippy's vague theories into practical effect. The tough part was constructing the crazy exotic materials he needed.
Exactly. The spiders want an activation. We can build ships. The spiders will pay the United Nations to construct a replacement fleet.
Shit, that is a horrible idea.
Right, because no one ever does anything that is a horrible idea.
Even your idiot political leaders must see that would be a stupid thing to do.
They will see that, right before they see the generous bribes the spiders will certainly be offering.
Joe, he gasped, are you suggesting your leaders would sell out their own people for mere money?
You know, if those spiders were smart, a large portion of those bribes would probably be directed to the Skippistan Widows and Orphans Fund.
Oh, he put a hand over his mouth.
Well, that is certainly a worthy cause.
What am I saying?
See?
Damn it! I hate working with meat sacks!
Now you understand why we need to figure out who tried to take Dogzilla away from you. Dum-dum,
you are forgetting that an activation fleet is useless without me.
You are forgetting that someone out there apparently also has the ability to hitch a ride on an activation signal and hack into a sentinel.
I hate my life,